Your wife posted my favorite Instagram story I've seen in a long time, like 2 days ago.
Okay, so here's what I'm trying to say right now. We had decided yesterday for the first time ever what we're going to start the show on, and you're trying to skirt the topic because
it was directed at you. I have to bring this up. Dude, I'm looking through Instagram stories, and I'm like, oh cool, Maddie posted a story. It's almost certain that it's going to be an adorable picture of Jude. By the way, congratulations on your beautiful baby boy. Welcome back from paternity leave.
Thank you.
Welcome back to your pastoral duties.
For those of you who count my yawns, they will be greater than ever. Or not, because I started drinking like a pitcher of coffee in the morning.
Oh gosh, he's back on cough too. He's done with the mushroom powder.
Okay.
Golly. He's managing the kinks. Okay, so I'm looking through the Instagram stories, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be an awesome picture of baby Jude. And instead, it was a lady singing a song from Hamilton. And then I looked at Maddie's caption, and it said, when your husband says to you, do you know where my keys are? Also, do you know where my wallet is? Also, do you know where my sunglasses are? And then the lady, right when I read it, the lady was singing, the fact that you're alive is a miracle.
Yeah. It's funny.
Oh, gosh. I was like, owned so completely. I was like, when I knew Maddie when she was in high school, I just didn't know that she had that level of like, I will burn you.
Yep. She sure does.
Also, for those of you who don't know, can you tell the good people who listen to the podcast what one of your Christmas presents was from your wife?
Well, it's ironic that she put that story because gone are those days, because she got me tiles.
Can you explain what tiles are?
Yeah, they're like little, you put one on a keychain, and you download an app and it'll like make a sound so you can find your keys. So those days of being made fun of are gone. It's a thing in the past. Here's what I'm saying. Yesterday, for those of you who've never been to our church or who do come to our church, I would say 99% of the people at our church don't know that we have a studio.
We got a recording studio.
Because it's a closet, basically.
Yeah, well, yeah, to call it a recording studio is a little rich.
And
it's a closet.
Yeah, well, I think it's a lot bigger than it looks.
Well, why would you say that?
But it's also kind of Lee's office. And okay, I'll say this though. I'll preface this. I think there's a thing that yours and my personalities have. We have a similar thing.
Okay.
And that we have a designated space that it's going to look how it does. And we know exactly where everything is. Like, yeah. My truck, it's a disaster always. And I don't really care. I'm like, you know, it's fine, whatever.
Right.
Like, I know that I'm going to have like 3 sweatshirts in the back seat. There's discs, there's books, there's like disc golf discs, there's frisbees, there's my baseball glove. There's anything that I could possibly need for a good time in the back seat. That's how I feel about
it. Yeah, I think I'm generally a tidy person, but yes, there is this one space in my life that's like, it's not tidy.
And yesterday I walked in there and Lee said, you know what, I think I'm going to clean this place out. It has looked the same way for 15 years.
Wow. Okay.
Well, 15 years. Oh, boy.
I wish this is an audio medium, but I wish that people could have seen the look on your face when I said, I think I'm going to clean this place out. Because there's this one place where there's just a cardboard box, and on top of the cardboard box are just clothes.
Yeah.
And I was,
there are whiteboards in there with notes on it from 2012.
Yeah. There's one where Ryan Waddell and Nick Waraxa wrote, Lee, we're out of Mountain Dew. Love, Rye and Neej.
When did they graduate? 2015?
Easily.
Yeah. That's 7 years ago, bro.
Yeah. And so like, yeah. But like, there's this one box that just has like a white button down shirt, just kind of like, because if we need to do a funeral, all of a sudden, you know?
Do those happen instantly?
You just never know.
Like, you never know. There's not enough time for you to go home and change.
Quick.
Lee lives 14 feet from the church.
I really don't.
And also, there's days We're not Jewish, man. Like, it's not like day of. We have to bury
before the sun goes.
bury the dead. Oh man.
Welcome to Ancient and New, a podcast where apparently I get burned now.
What? No,
I don't understand how that happened.
This is not. That is so much baloney. The whole thing is about how. How much I deserve to be made fun of. That's the premise of the show. We need to retitle the thing. Two pastors, one of them gets roasted every week. The one time the other one gets a little bit of a blemish of a roast. He's over here.
Oh, just a little blemish of a roast. Wow. Look, we're both a little loopy right now. You have a brand new baby and haven't gotten
who much sleeps
sleep.
Anymore?
Both of us had... You know, both of us, unfortunately, had, you know, we took L's in our preferred team's bowl games.
It's fine.
But we're going to make it. Welcome to a new year. Happy New Year.
Probably.
You have a scripture for us to talk about? We sometimes talk about scripture in here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be in 1 Peter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think Peter's probably... I think he's... Is it fair to say? I mean, like, you can't say your favorite characters of the Bible.
Why? Why?
Well, because, like, if the answer is not Jesus, then you're... Are you saved? I don't know. Like, yikes. No, I mean, because, like, it... Okay, let's rephrase that. Blanket statement, everybody's favorite character of the Bible is Jesus.
Oh, my
God. We all know that, right?
Sure.
But, like, we all just say, like, yeah. But then you have people... Outside of him, you're like, yeah, I'd track with that person.
Yeah, well, it's like the team that you're a homer for, and then you have like the other teams you like to that you kind of like to watch, and you have your favorite of that. You
know? Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Okay, Peter's your favorite character,
probably
outside of Jesus.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, I think so.
Well, he gets the most lines, probably. You know.
Yeah,
like any of the disciples.
He sucks the air out of the room, which I think is probably something that I track with. I don't know.
What chapter are we in?
One.
Let's go.
First. Chapter one. Do you ever say something and you're like, wait, is that right? The other day in Bible study, I was like, John chapter 14. And I was like, that's how we say that, right? Like, I've been doing this for a long time. And I for some reason, when it came out of my mouth, I was like, that doesn't sound right. And like, I feel like someone gave me a weird look. And I was like, did I just do like...
Is that like a 2 Corinthians?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, wait, did I... I mean, it was so funny. But anyways, okay, so I think I'm going to start in verse 6, but...
Okay.
I'm a little bit disappointed because the other day I read this, and there was something in here that jumped way off the page at me, and I got my journal to look at, and it's just... For those of you who... I mean, nobody knows this about me, but my handwriting is just terrible. There's no point.
It's atrocious.
Yeah, there was no point in me trying to look at it.
It's not as bad as Austin Morgan's handwriting.
Well, the way I feel about it is like, you know, Tom writes in Italian in his journal.
Yeah.
I write in my own handwriting. Nobody knows except for the Lord what I'm saying. Not even me.
Sometimes even the Lord is like, what is that?
What in the world? That's why that prayer was unanswered. Okay, so I'm going to start in verse 6. Yeah. In all this, actually, I'm going to back up. So
wow.
Peter's, that was quick. He's writing to a bunch of people who are, they're getting like, they're getting super discouraged about their faith, and they're getting pushed, and they're thinking about kind of walking away from things. Yeah.
Yeah. They're having a hard time.
Yeah. So, people
are losing their jobs. People are getting kicked out of their families.
Yeah. They're finding out what it means to believe in Jesus in a lot of ways. And they're, you know, to be persecuted, and they're struggling with it. So in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay, I remembered what it was when I was reading that.
You were praying about this yesterday.
Was I?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I remember exactly where we were. We were walking across that little
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I bridge. Talked about at the having inexpressible and glorious joy. But the thing that I thought was cool, I never read this before in this way, but I feel like a lot of what Peter's doing in this is encouraging these people, like in a big way, just hey, hold on, you can do this. Look at all these things you're doing awesomely.
Yeah.
And one of them I thought was, I never read this way. And I love, Sandra McCracken has a song out of verse 8, which I think is really cool. One time you and I got in an argument whether or not we'd sing that in church. And
we did.
I was right. But
you should have slid that in there.
Christy backed me up. I remember. She's like, oh yeah, we have. And you're like, no, we've never done that. I was like, yeah. So anyways, verse 8.
I was pulling a potty on you.
Yeah. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So I thought just how, okay, for Peter, he walked around with Jesus for a while. He knew him well. He hugged him, high-fived him. He had a nickname. You know, like they were tight. And I just thought Peter's writing to people who didn't see him, but they believe in him. And I thought, man, I wonder if he is looking at that and saying, that is so cool of you. You're doing a thing that I didn't even have to do.
Wow,
like, neat. You believe in Jesus and you didn't walk around with him like I did. You didn't see all the miracles he did in person. Way to go. Like, yeah. I read that in a way of like, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Like, it was
great,
like,
hey guys,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Way to go. And I thought, like, that was so helpful for me just to read that in that way that morning.
Yeah.
To think like, okay, I feel like I'm behind the sticks this morning a little bit. What do I have going for me? And then to take that and read it in a way that is like, dude, you believe in a God who you've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like, you have a lot of reasons to believe in him based on your life and what you know to be true about him. But it's also really cool that you have faith in someone that you've never touched the holes in his hands or in his side. You didn't watch him in the garden. You didn't see him heal all these people.
You don't know the way his, like, like his face crinkles up when he laughs.
Right. You don't know really which hard. Way his hair parts. You don't know how long his beard was. Like, you don't, but you believe in him.
Yeah.
And there are results of that. I think it's really cool that he says that with the, you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Because there's no, it's just like for people in this world who don't believe in Jesus, I'm like, what are we, where's your moral compass coming from? How do we decide those things?
Right.
And how do you explain joy? How do you explain happiness? How do you explain kindness and love and those good things? And, anyways, I thought it was cool that it was cool to read that in that way. And then to think about how there is an end result of that. There is like a, you know, those, when you're in like third grade, they make those like math machine things. You know what I'm talking about? It's like they, I don't know how else to explain it, but there's like a box that's drawn and there's a number on one side. And then inside there's like a function. And then out the other side comes the result of it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what they're called anymore. Yes. 'Cause math is not awesome, but I love that. I love the idea of being encouraged for faith and then thinking about what comes out on the other side for me, which is cool on my daily basis. So anyways,
I think my experience like this is like when I watch my kids do something that I just cannot, like, you know, Anna gets an A on a calculus test. It's like, I didn't take like the three math classes that would have led to calculus.
Right.
You know, and the one that was four away, like I like squeaked by.
I think at the time when I took the AP test in calculus at Oak Ridge High School, I was maybe the only person to ever get a one on it.
Yeah.
Which someone's like, that's awesome. And it's like, no, that's the opposite end of the scale. Yeah, that's
Yeah. You're looking for a five.
You're looking for a five.
yeah, but like, exactly. It, you know, it's like, dude, you pulled something off. I don't even have to experience it. I don't even know what that's like. And I think I take that and
I definitely have experienced that some, and I want to experience it more. I want to experience more of, like, you know, I wish there was a clear function for experiencing that kind of joy. Like, well, if you do this, then you will have an inexpressible and glorious joy. And it's like, I want that. I want that this year, you know? And yeah, I feel like just turning that into a prayer, because, like, gosh, inexpressible joy, that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about Peter, because he was able to say, I think it was in 2 Peter when he says, like, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty when we were with him on the holy mountain. Like, and he's talking about the night that Jesus was transfigured.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll never forget that night. Right. I'll never forget the things I experienced with him. And yet what we have is a different thing than Peter even experienced. Like you're saying, it's like, and I've loved those touchstone moments. I just want more of them this year.
Right. That's all I had.
Look, can we look at Psalm 3?
Sure. What if I would have said no?
I would say you're already like, you've already roasted me enough today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sleepy.
I think it's hilarious though, the idea that like this podcast has never roasted me before, because there are whole bits where you like, there's the whole thing where you just whisper into the mic something.
Okay, I would say the ratio though is like 5 to 1. Because you're the host of the show.
Oh my gosh, we are the hosts of the show. Also, Psalm 3. I just want to look at, I want to start in verse 3.
Okay.
But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. There's a lot in this psalm that I didn't read that's about enemies and just like all the people that are talking about him and the people that are treating him badly and just how the Lord comes through for him. But I think the thing that just drew my attention and attracted me and to spending a lot of time with this psalm after I read it recently was just the idea that you're the one that is a shield, and you're the one that lifts up my head, and you're the one that brings me glory. It's like, I don't know. I think when I go through something difficult, my first instinct is to rally, advice or help or encouragement from my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good thing. That's a positive thing. It's a positive thing I'm really thankful that I have friends in my life that I can go to when I'm having a hard time or whatever. But, you know, and when I feel terrible about myself in some way, I want to find some reason that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for some kind of tangible thing that will allow me to undo that.
Right.
That's not an actual thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's something that this psalm woke up in me of like, the first place I should go is to the Lord. Like the way that I should deal with things that I feel about myself that are bad or down or whatever is I should let him lift up my head.
Yeah.
And I should let him be my shield.
Right.
I should let who he says about me be the deepest, truest thing about me so that I don't have to gather a lot of evidence to undo whatever it is, things I'm afraid of or my insecurities or whatever it is, because I keep myself rooted in the fact that my shield is him.
Right.
And he's the one that actually lifts up my head.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that I get like whatever, like glory is just, it's just a word that it's not just like, it means like you're all shiny and stuff like that. And like, oh, like a halo around you. It's like glory is like, it's like the truest thing about a person. It's like, this is the true word of this person. This is the exact this is the exact genuine article. You're seeing the, you're seeing who this person really is. And it's like, I want to get that from him. I want to start with him. And not that I don't want to get help and advice and stuff from my friends. I do. But like, I want to run to him first. I want to get my, I want turning my attention. I want prayer to be my first thing. I want my identity in Jesus because of what he's done for me and what he thinks about me. I want that to be so deep and so reinforced and so thought about in my mind that, that it's the first and most impenetrable defense that I have against
right.
the things that I go through and the things that I feel.
Mm. That's cool. And that's helpful. Okay. So I think I would describe myself as a pretty needy person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fair. I mean, I think most people are.
Yeah. You know? Which I think is a fine thing in our faith specifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's important. If we're not needy, then we're, it just like, what are we doing? Right. Like,
yeah.
And I think what you're saying goes really well with that in the sense that the cool thing about being needy in our faith is that there's things for it always. Like,
yeah,
I'm talking like specifically with like insecurities, identity crises, fears, doubts, worries, all those things. Like the Lord has things to say about all those.
Yeah.
How much am I willing to listen to him and to find the answers that I'm looking for in him? I think that's super important because it's a cool thing about community to have people to go to for help, which I think is awesome. It's necessary. It's biblical. All those things are true.
Yeah.
But I think it can become our primary thing. And like, I'm not trying to bash that because I think it's so good and helpful, but like, if I'm never going to the Lord for the things that I need and I'm only relying on people around me, I'm missing a big part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jumbling this up, but I like, that's a helpful thing for me to think about, like whatever, it's a new year, right? Like, but it's, I think it's a cool thing for me to think about going into new year is like, okay, what if I started with God before I went anywhere else this year?
Right.
Right. Like, and that's exactly what you're saying. But like, and I'm not just saying like, okay, I'm going to spend time with him in the morning before I do anything else. Like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying specifically like, okay, I'm having a hard time. I have this thought in my head. I have this insecurity in my head. I have this doubt. I have this whatever. What if I went to the places I knew that he talked about those things in the scripture? What if I remembered things he said about me? What if I remembered things he's done about me before I went anywhere else and started there? And that's exactly what you're saying. I'm just repeating it because it's helpful for me to think about.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you're my shield. Like the yeah. my friends are good friends and people's wise counsel is wise counsel, but you're my shield.
Yeah.
And you're the one that actually lifts up my head.
Right.
Like if I do feel down about myself and then it's like, and then I find some external reason to think I'm awesome. It's right. like, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
But really he's the one that lifts up my head. I was thinking about a similar thought that I had. And all my thoughts are getting ahead of my mouth here, but like, it's like, as I go into this year, I want my identity in him to be where I start. And like the other day we were, I had mentioned that I was going to use the oven to make part of dinner. And then I went and did something else. And then I came back to it. And all of a sudden, I looked at the oven. And it was preheated. And I was like, the oven's preheated. And Christy was like, yeah, I heard you say that you were going to make part of it. And I was like, this is amazing. It was just like, I was like, oh, I get to skip a step.
Yeah.
The oven's already preheated.
That's awesome.
I just get to put the food in.
Yeah.
And we start making it. And that was so cool. And the thing that I thought about just kind of from a spiritual perspective is like, I want to on purpose think about things that are true of me because of Jesus and because of what he's done for me. I want to keep the oven preheated.
Oh, that's
cool. So that when I do have a hard thing, it's like,
yeah.
I'm already going to him. Right. And I already remember some things about myself. I've already kind of calibrated that, you know, that the machine.
Right.
You know, I'm ready to cook because the oven's already preheated. That's because cool. I woke up this morning, and because during the day, and because when I was at a stoplight, I took a moment, I took a beat and stopped and thought, like, here's something that's true of me because Jesus loves me. Mm-hmm. Like, anyway, I want him to be my shield. I want him to be the one that lifts up my head. He is.
Yeah.
But I want to start there.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's helpful.
I like it.
I do too. We should cut out the part where I talked and just do your part on this one.
Don't.
But yours was so much better.
What? How did you just do that to yourself? Lord, no
please
more.
Please be my shield. I need you.
Thomas literally folded his hands, closed his eyes, and looked up to heaven with his closed eyes. I wish you guys could have seen that.
All babies do this, but it's one of my favorite things. Like, I'll get Jude, and he's like, you know, milk drunk, you know? He's like half eyes open, kind of smacking his lips. But he'll interlock his fingers and put his hands on his chest. And I'm like, my dude, let's worship together. Like, that's I'm always
milk drunk. I can't get past milk drunk. It's so true.
You know exactly what it is. Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah, like, dude, you're
like, I need to change your diaper, but I really don't want to take you out of this moment.
Yeah, you're
like
gonzo, man.
Yeah. I think you would be okay sitting in your own waist because of how you feel right now. Like,
hey, Pops, just leave.
Just leave it. It's just fine.
Just leave me here.
Everything's fine.
Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. Folks, thanks for joining us. Thanks for walking into a brand new year with us. We are super grateful for y'all. Today's episode has been brought to you by the...
we haven't done this in 3 years.
Today's episode has been brought to you by... the Big Ten champs who fell short in the college football playoff, but go Blue.
And the Oakland Raiders, probable new head coach. Oh,
gosh.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, man. You know what I think is going to happen? I think the Raiders are going to... I think this whole Jim Harbaugh thing is a smokescreen. I think the guy they really are going after is Mark Stoops.
I hope so.
I mean...
Because, yeah. I mean, that tracks well with Raiders history. Mediocrity since John Madden...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've really struggled since John Madden. And after the death of John Madden, they're like, we'll never be back in those days. We should go ahead and go for Mark Stoops.
Yeah, they're always a solid, you know, and like Mark Stoops is going to go there and he's going to do exactly what they expect. Win 7 games. And
right.
Yeah. It's and fine.
Yeah, he's not going to, yeah. It's never that thing of like, it's happening, it's happening. It's like, nah.
Nah, it's fine.
It's the Raiders. Yeah. It's just like the Coyotes.
Guys,
thanks for joining us. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You are seeking sacrifice or for me to act like everything's alright. You are looking for a where I pretend that there are no tears in my eyes, so I will cast my cares on you, because you care for me, and I will worship you. Come in. looking for your child. To be with you by your side. And to tell you how I feel. And discover once again your love is real. So I will cast my cares on you.
Yes.